Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program midweek. It is Wednesday, the 24th day of April, 2024. So it's one of those days where you just say, man, the weekend just ended and it's so far away. You still have all day today, all day Thursday, and all day Friday to deal with all the crap you have to deal with. As you all know, at the beginning of this month, I spent some quality time. Actually, the beginning of last month. Can't believe it's been well over a month since I've returned from China, Singapore, and Vietnam. A little stopover in Korea. But I'm driving along the interstate this morning. I'm looking out. I'm seeing remnants of truck tires. I'm seeing buckets from home improvement stores, litter, cups, cans, bottles, piled up along the shoulders. It's like, how many people in the United States of America don't work? I'm not saying can't work, because everyone, including the soldier who returns from battle, missing two arms, two legs, one ear, and one eye, can work. And we did a report about 5 years ago about a U.S. soldier who returned home in pretty much that condition. He could sit home for the rest of his life, lay in a bed, and receive disability payments. But this guy chose to go to work. The only job he could get was telemarketing. And now he is the telemarketing manager. Not because he's disabled or otherwise abled. Sorry, don't want to injure anyone's feelings this morning. He doesn't care, by the way. He says he is proud to be a disabled American veteran, having served his country for 12 years and then pretty much gotten blown up while Barack Hussein Obama was the president. But we won't go into that this morning. Every able-bodied person can work. And China was a great example. Singapore was a great example. Even Vietnam was a great example. Everyone worked. Why? There is no welfare. There is no such thing as food stamps. There is no such thing as Section 8 housing for lazy people who refuse to get off their dead asses every day and go to a job of some sort. Right here along Interstate 10, just outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, there's enough crap on the sides of the road to put a small army to work, picking it up, cleaning it up. But we have a class, and I'll use the term, a lower class, a subculture of American life. A group of people who feel as if they should not have to work, should not have to contribute to the economy. As if because 400 years ago, their great-great-great-great-great-grandmammy or great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy might have been, with no proof whatsoever, other than the color of skin, the nap of hair, the size of lips, might have been a slave. Maybe. And so we cater to them. We coddle them. We allow them to live, albeit at a lower income level than those who do work, who do strive to succeed, who do get promoted, who do earn a pay raise. But those people in the subclass, the subculture, the lower class of Americans, they have gotten used to living at a lower economic standard. They're okay with a Wayfair check on the third of the month. They okay with food stamp. They okay with living in a substandard house in a Section 8 neighborhood. They're fine with it. It's wrong of them to subsist and exist on that level. The nation deserves to have every able-bodied person, and even some disabled-bodied persons, in some form of employment. Everyone should contribute. But you see, the Democratic political party has made it its mission to pander to groups of people who refuse to contribute, refuse to work, refuse to put into the system, refuse to be a part of the system, because those in the Democratic political party can benefit themselves. 100 senators, 435 members of the House of Representatives, a president and a vice president, all make decisions each and every day as to whether people should work and contribute to our great American experience or sit on their dead asses and take from that system. Think about it. Right now, there could be a crew just getting started as the day breaks on the side of these roads, picking up all the crap, the tire remnants, the soda pop bottles, the beer cans, and having a crew come through and keep the grass mowed and the plants fertilized and watered. When I drove alongside of a major highway in Shanghai, it was like what I always thought America looked like or should look like. It certainly looks like what everyone else around the world envisions America to look like until they get here and they see the disgusting filth, until they see the remnants of graffiti and crime, until they see the broken down abandoned vehicles, the police chases, the broken and closed up storefronts. I saw none of this in Asia, my friends. And I'm not saying, oh, Asia's so great, I want to move there. I don't want to move there. I want our nation to be as good as those other nations that we have spent the last 60 years bashing. And I can only say the last 60 years because that's the limit of my experience on this planet. Sure, I can read books and magazines, but how with AI and with the censorship that our Democratic political party so loves, can we trust anything we read in a book, on the internet, or see in a movie or television? Speaking of movies and television, when you see movies and television shows depicting New York, it's always glamorous. It's always these beautiful streets with great-looking people walking by, smartly dressed, with new cars driving down the streets. That's how we still try to trick the American population into thinking this country is. I can tell you from firsthand experience, my friends, I spent time over there in Asia. I saw zero litter. I didn't encounter a single pothole. Well, that's not true. I did find one, but it had barricades around it and a crew of five. Yes, all five of that crew were actually repairing this hole in the ground. We went through on a Monday and saw it barricaded. We came back through on Wednesday and the entire road was open, completely fixed, repaired. Oh, and by the way, they don't use cheap brother-in-law asphalt there. We worry about global warming, supposedly, in our country. Laying asphalt, dark black asphalt on our roadways, contributes directly to global warming, if there is such a thing. The temperature on hot asphalt is much, much hotter than the temperature on concrete. That's a statistical fact. Concrete also lasts far, far longer. But you see, if you do the job correctly and you lay concrete and wait for it to properly cure before you allow cars and trucks to ride upon it, well, my friends, guess what? You have a road that lasts for decades. But if you dig a hole and scrape the ground and pour hot asphalt on it, You have a road that lasts 4 to 5 years in many climates. And the heat will bake the global temperatures. I'm not saying this because I hate asphalt, but if our nation truly gave a rat's tight, narrow, furry little ass about so-called global warming, our country would mandate that all road surfaces be lighter in color, so as to reflect the sunlight back into the air, back into space where it came from. Instead, our politicians and their brothers-in-law, their cousins, their friends, their political donors who own asphalt companies, well, they get to repave a road every 3 to 5 years, depending on the traffic. Before Venezuela was taken over by liberal, progressive, woke, corrupt politicians and plunged into an economic malaise as it currently is, my brother's father-in-law worked for an oil company and was contracted in Venezuela. And he said, you wouldn't believe what they're doing here. They anticipate population growth in certain cities, and so they plan ahead before they start moving people and industries into those cities. They say, if we're going to put a company here that is going to employ 300,000 employees, we need to make damn sure that we have an infrastructure to support those 300,000 expected new arrivals. And so they do traffic studies, not in years, but in days on computer systems. And they say 300,000 employees are going to drive X number of cars, X number of miles, X number of days from these neighborhoods to these factories. They're going to have 2.2 children per household, so we need to build this size school with this many classrooms and this size cafeteria, and they build it with an anticipated growth of X percent, whatever that is. So they don't build just what they need, they anticipate the growth and they build accordingly. Sure, they could get by with two-way traffic on a small road, but they know what that is going to cause. Gridlock, traffic accidents, traffic tie-ups, slowdowns, angry employees who have to deal with that commute. And so they build a four-lane in each direction highway, knowing they don't need that yet, but it's there when the population grows. That's how they did it in Venezuela. That's how they do it in China, in South Vietnam, in Singapore. It's how they do it in Sydney, Australia, in Brisbane, in Perth. That's how they do it in intelligent, forward-thinking countries. But not in the United States. No, sir. In the United States, they see a population shifting right now from liberal, progressive, woke cities and states like New York and California, Los Angeles, towards places like Tennessee, Texas, and Georgia. They see it. I can see it. Hell, if I can see it, don't you think a person with a PhD can see it? Call ended. Again, my apologies for the ringing phone, but that's one of the dangers of doing the program when you're using a cell phone as the portable studio. So my apologies. What I was getting at is, we in America don't do the grand infrastructure projects anymore like we did back in the 1930s, the 1940s, 50s, 60s, because our politicians have gotten it figured out. With a four-year election cycle, these guys can never get anything done. They choose to not get anything done so that they can run again and say, give me 4 more years in office so that I can do what I tried to do. And then they blame the other party each and every time for why things didn't get done. Joe Biden is the prime example. He wants 4 more years to finish destroying America's economy. But he's telling everyone he needs 4 more years to fix things that Donald Trump allegedly screwed up. The problem in America is 95% of the people only believe what they read in the newspaper or see on the television or read on the internet. They take it at face value. No one spends 1 minute of time researching the actual factual data. No one ever looks into a situation or a subject and says, here's what really happened. So you end up in a city like Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which was thrust into a rapid population growth in 2005 after Hurricane Katrina wiped out parts of the city of New Orleans. Many people relocated just north on the interstate to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and they experienced rapid growth in population. But had Baton Rouge, the capital of the state of Louisiana, been a forward-thinking city to begin with, they would have been working on infrastructure improvements and adding lanes of highway and adding bridges across the Mississippi River decades before. But the thing is, people are generally lazy. It is human nature to find the easiest way to get something done. It kind of makes sense when you think about it. If you're trying to walk up a hill with pebbles, you don't walk up the hill with one pebble, then go all the way down the hill to get another pebble, and then walk back up the hill and do this repeatedly over and over again. You find a container to put a bunch of pebbles in, and then you go up the hill and you dump the pebbles wherever they are needed at the top of the hill. Human beings are inherently lazy. It's in our nature. It is in our physiology. We think we're working smarter, not working with our backs harder, but we don't look forward to see what should be happening. We don't anticipate growth. We don't anticipate obstacles and prepare for and plan to address those obstacles. We wait until the obstacles weigh us down so very much that we're forced to find the easy way out, the minimal solution, the quick and easy fix. Louisiana is one of those states that feeds the entire United States of America with sugar, with rice, with soybeans, and with the very necessary crude oil and natural gas that power your cars, your trucks, your SUVs, your minivans, the electric generating station that puts that electricity in your home, in your business, keeps the streetlights lit. But Louisiana, as they've done for the last 200 years, is a lazy state, a heavily populated minority state, where the already lazy nature of human beings is exacerbated by an entire subculture, a subclass of descendants allegedly of former slaves who feel like they should just be handed everything because their great-great-great-grand ancestor might have been a slave. Now, I know I mentioned that already once in the program, but it's fact. Why should Tyrone or Shaquina go out and get a job and work and pay taxes when we make it so very easy for Tyrone and Shaquina to live rent-free in some low-income Section 8 government-assisted housing project or single-family home? Because, you know, housing projects are racist. Why should Shaquina or Tyrone go out and get a job and work and pay taxes when they can sit home and get a check every month for Social Security supplemental income, something they've never paid a penny into, and to get food stamps? Oh, I'm sorry, the EBT card. The EBT card, Electronic Benefits Transfer. They don't even want to be called food stamps because that's an offensive, racist term, food stamps. They like having that credit card. They proudly swipe it at the grocery store, buying stuff that you and I can't afford, even though we work hard and even though we make decent money. Because you see, Shaquina and Tyrone, they can sit home, they can collect all of those benefits, the Section 8 housing, the rental assistance, the utility assistance, the food stamps, EBT card, the Social Security supplemental income, and the more children they have out of wedlock, the more people like Shaquina can just get a monthly stipend, a monthly check from the U.S. government to pay for all of those things, like them nice tattoos she be done got on her, and them nice hoop earrings, not to mention them fancy fingernails. No, my friends, Shaquina has got it made. Shaquina is living a farcical American dream. Sure, her house that she lives in is owned by the government, and she gets to stay there rent-free. That's why she doesn't care about cutting the grass, planting flowers out front. That's not important. That's not important to her. But I bet you she's got a wonderful OLED or QLED or whatever the latest, greatest television is in her house. Last year, I did an insurance inspection on a house where the person claimed that someone had broken in and stolen her television. On the wall, mounted to the wall of this Section 8 house upon which this woman purchased renter's insurance, were three televisions. There was one on the north-facing wall, one on the east-facing wall, and one on the south-facing wall. And had there not been a door on the remaining wall, I'm sure there would have been a widescreen television there as well. Giant stereo speakers, very ornate furniture that I wouldn't want. It was so gaudy. But very expensive furniture inside the home. And outside, a nice Lexus automobile with probably $5,000 aftermarket wheels and tires, deep tinted windows, and a sound system that would make you go deaf if they turned it past four. They are gaming the system. And then they complain when one of their own shoots another one of their own and tries to blame the guns for the stupidity in their own neighborhood. They don't work. This woman didn't have a job. I asked her if she had a work phone, and she says, no, I don't work. I stays home. You don't work, you stays home. Yep, that's what she said. She had two cellular phones, two portable phones, probably one to talk to legitimate people and the other one to run her little drug deal enterprise. I'm just speculating. Anyway, I canvassed the neighborhood. I asked a couple of questions. I asked an elderly white woman who lived next door if they had heard or seen any police there to investigate the so-called alleged theft of all of the items this woman was claiming. She said, no, the police haven't been out here in quite a while since her boyfriend moved out. There hasn't been much in the way of violence. I haven't heard many gunshots. But don't say I said anything, because I don't want them to retaliate against me. Yes, this woman lives off of your tax dollars each and every day. She gets her money, her benefits, her free health care. You and I have to go out and work for a living. That's what I'm doing now, driving into work. I have to go to work for 8-9 hours in the day, and then look at my paycheck and see the dirty four-letter F word on my paycheck stub, each and every paycheck. You've seen it. If you haven't seen the dirty four-letter F word on your check stub, I encourage you to look at your last earnings statement, your last paycheck stub. You'll see federal income tax withheld. Then you'll see possibly state income tax withheld if you live in a state that collects state income tax. If you're in New York City, you'll also see a city income tax withheld. But then there's a four-letter dirty F-word, FICA, Feed Ignorant Caged Animals. That's what that stands for. Or Feed Incompetent Colorful Animals. However you want to use the acronym, it is the money that is taken out for FICA, which goes directly into the pockets of people who refuse to work. People who are physically capable of working, people who can do some sort of job and contribute to the tax base, but choose. They make a choice, a conscious decision
to not work, to not contribute, to not pay taxes. After all, that's white man law. I don't have to pay nothing into no system of white man law. That's the mentality. And they know that if they vote for the Democratic political party, the Democratic political party will continue to pass laws, ordinances, rules, and regulations that keep those people at that low level of existence. But here's the part that you don't think about every day. While Shaquina and Tyrone get their food stamps, their Section 8 housing vouchers, their utility rent and rent assistance payments, their SSI, and all of the other free money that the Democrats keep feeding them, you would think they'd remain at that low level of subsistence living and supplement their income by, oh, I don't know, selling the toilet out of their government house, selling the front door, and then complaining that the government hasn't been quick enough in replacing the missing toilet or the missing front door. Or they sell drugs, or they have a side job for cash money, and that way they don't have to report it. They don't have to pay no taxes up on it. You know what I mean? You heard me? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? That's what's going on. That's why they can walk into the grocery store and put $300, $400 worth of, well, Biden's economy, more like $400 worth of groceries, whip out the old EBT card, swipe it, and get all of their food paid for by you, the taxpayer. And then reach into their bra and pull out a wad of cash that would choke a horse and pay for their alcohol, their tobacco, their pre-cooked foods, the items that the welfare EBT food stamp card doesn't pay for. That's why you see them on a Saturday in the middle of the day, early morning, or on a Wednesday when they should be at their jobs, sitting out in the median or sitting in some abandoned grocery store parking lot, 50 or 100 of them, with a big old barbecue going on, lots of ribs, and some big chicken thighs and legs, and some chicken wings and some steaks and some pork chops and some sausages and all those expensive cuts of meat that you and I can't afford. Now, I want you to think for a minute, that FICA line that comes out of your paycheck, you see it every pay period, that dirty, nasty four-letter F word. What if you got to keep that amount of money in your check each and every pay period? That extra amount of money that they're plucking out of your paycheck. Imagine if you got to keep that. Then maybe you could afford a nice television. Maybe you could afford a nice rack of ribs to barbecue. But that's not the way this world works, at least not in America. And that's why the roads don't get fixed, because they were poorly planned. The profit motive, the let's save as much money on this and shortcut as much as possible. That's why the roads don't last. That's why the buildings don't last. By the way, every one of the hotels and office buildings and grocery stores that I saw when I was in Asia, the construction quality was far, far superior to anything I've seen here. All of those buildings were earthquake rated, meaning they could stand a pretty good shake. They're all wind load rated. They can stand a hurricane, a tropical cyclone, a tornado. And they don't use paper shingles with little beads glued to them with asphalt. All of the roof tiles were concrete or of some type of ceramic material that is resistant to wear, tear, aging, hail, and wind. But then again, we could have that here in the United States. We choose not to. All right, gang, I've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Make it a great Wednesday. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. Background music, Jason Shaw and Audionautics.